Good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to see the sun shining outside. We thank God for the beautiful day and our opportunity and ability to enjoy it, and thankful that you are with us and sharing in this time together of now study from God's Word. I invite you to get your Bible and join us and follow along with us and make any notes or questions you might have, and we'll be most delighted to discuss those with you after the lesson. And we certainly invite and encourage everyone to be back tonight at 6. As you see, this is part one. We're going to use the day to refresh and renew our thinking about the body of Christ. And so I hope you'll come back tonight, and as we continue this study from God's Word, especially welcome our visitors and those who are outside. I know that some are outside because they don't feel well today. Sister Gail Wilkins has been battling a sinus infection. She stayed outside, and our prayers are for her as well as others who are not feeling well. Aaron's already let us know about this morning. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. I hope our study this morning, as well as the one tonight, will be incentive from God's Word for us not only to examine what we believe and think, but then to act upon what God says. Because the most important thing is not to do what we think or what we feel, but to do what God says, to trust Him that His Word is right, that His Word is truth, and that when we follow it in faith, He blesses us. He counts that faith under righteousness. And so we hope that if you're not a Christian, you'll become one. That's our prayer, that's our aim, that's our goal, that's the purpose of the gospel. And we want to be God's servants to try to help accomplish that by teaching accurately what's in His Word, so that you can hear clearly what God is saying to you. Not what I or somebody else are saying, but what God is saying to you in His Word, so that upon that you can build your faith and you can obey His will. Be saved from your sins in Jesus. And as Christians, to be exhorted and be admonished and edified and built up in our faith. And also to correct sin as we find it in ourselves, as He also teaches us through repentance and prayerful confession of His assured forgiveness of our sins as His people. So with that said, and that being the focus and what we'll again remind us of at the end of our study, let's study today about the body of Christ. And we begin by asking a simple question that we may take for granted, but I think is pretty obvious. Does your body matter to you? Does your body matter to you? I think if the COVID pandemic has taught us anything, it's taught us that people's bodies matter to them. And that's not a bad thing. After all, our body is a gift from God. We've been created in His image, not in the body sense, but as the inner person. But life itself is a gift from God. So again, we ask, does our body matter to us? Well, clearly it does. We take medicine when we are sick. We rehabilitate when we're injured. Surgeries. We're thankful for the progress. We're grateful that we have a body that in which we live, and with which, hopefully, we're thankful that with it we serve God. And hopefully we also understand that that body is not all there is to us, but in fact, it is that which God has given us to in turn give to Him. And that's why in Romans 12 and verse 1 it says, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we only take care of our bodies because of ourselves, we've missed the real point of why we have a body. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, Paul explores that point in some detail. In warning against sexual immorality, he urges that our body is a dwelling place of the Spirit of God that's to be used to the service of God. And so it is that when we care about our bodies, we ought to be caring about how we use our bodies to honor God, to please God. But now the follow-up question is, does the body of Christ matter to you? We know our own body matters to us. But does the body of Christ matter to us? And We're going to have to define what body we're talking about. We'll do that in this lesson. These scriptures that we have underneath that question do so. Ephesians 1 and verse 23 or 22. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. In the scriptures, the body of Christ refers to the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, and in verse 25, the Word of God says, husband, or verse 23 beginning, that Christ is the head of the church and He is the Savior of the body. And again in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Acts 20:28 says He purchased the church with His own blood. One thing's for sure, the body of Christ matters to Jesus. He is its head, it is His body. He is its Savior. He loves it. He gave Himself for her. The body of Christ, by definition in Scripture, is the church that belongs to Jesus. That's what we mean when we say Church of Christ. We don't mean denomination. That's not what the Bible teaches. We're not encouraging you today to think of any denomination as the Church of Christ. Church of Christ is not a denomination. That's not what we intend to be, but simply the church that belongs to Christ. So again, we ask the question, does the church matter? Does the body of Christ matter to you? You know, there's a lot of doctrines in the world that simply indicate that really the church, the body of Christ, doesn't matter that much to a lot of people to whom it ought to matter. One of the most common ones that I grew up with is join the church of your choice and glorify God. Join the church of your choice. Now think about that a minute. Where in Scripture has Jesus told us that there are different bodies that all belong to Him? His bodies, and you choose the body that you want, that pleases you. He is the head of the body. Ephesians 1:22, Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body. But you see, the doctrines that are prevalent in this world is all the churches are Christ's, and you choose the one that fits you. No. That verse in Romans 12:1 says we're to fit ourselves into Christ. Present your bodies a sacrifice to Him, and we'll go on further as He discusses about being members of His body. Again, not bodies of Christ. So let's ask the question in a little different way. What church must I be a member of to please God and go to heaven? Now, if you're defining church as denomination, let me encourage you to have a different definition, because that's not how the Bible uses the word church. We don't read about it that way in Scripture. The church is the body of Christ. It's not the denominations of men. So, does the body of Christ matter to you? Does it really matter to you? Does it matter so much that you want to find His body and you want to be a member of His body because you want to go to heaven? How important is the body of Christ to you? Does it make any difference to you? You see, your physical body matters to you, doesn't it? It makes a difference if you're healthy or not. But what about the body of Christ? Is that important? Does it matter to you? Does it make any difference what body you're a member of? The Scripture says, yes, it matters. That's what we want to explore in our study this morning. And Lord willing, tonight we'll look at some additional aspects of it. But let's begin to study the body of Christ, first of all, because you see, really, when we go to Scripture and think about the body of Christ, first of all, we need to talk about the physical body of Christ, the one that hung on the cross, the one that walked among men, that lived sinlessly, and then voluntarily died a sacrifice for the sins of the world. As Brother Tyler prayed at the table, we're thankful that God prepared a body for Jesus. And in that body, He served the will of His Father. And through it, showed the love of God in dying for our sins. His death, the death of His physical body, is how we are redeemed. Unless He had offered His life in a sacrifice for sin, we would not be saved. The angel told Joseph, Matthew 1 and verse 21, that you should call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins. Jesus saves us from our sins because He gave His physical body in death, redeeming us, freeing us from the death, the bondage and death of sin in our lives. Now, let's read Scripture to fortify the point for us. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. The apostle writes concerning Christ that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So two things are discussed there about this matter of at least two, about the death of Jesus. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. That's what redemption is. We're forgiven. Our sins are released. God holds them against us no more. He wipes them out. He removes them. And it's according to the riches of His grace. That redemption, that forgiveness that we have is because of the abundant grace of God. Grace, favor from the throne of God bestowed on us. The unworthy, the sinner, the enemy. It is God's forgiveness by His love that is the grand and great exhibition, not only example, but process of God's grace extended to us. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, Hebrews the second chapter and verse 9 says that by the grace of God, He tasted death for everyone. Jesus tasted, He was made human, He was made a little lower than the angels, He became a man, so that by God's grace, how he dies for us. Now we talked about Abraham this morning, Brother Lauren mentioned that at the table as well, how Abraham offered his son, Hebrews 11, 17. But God stayed His hand from actually killing His son. The Father lets His son die. He sends His son to the earth, and the son willingly comes to the earth and gives His life for our forgiveness, for our redemption. So the body of Christ was prepared for Him, lived without sin, and that spotless Lamb of God dies and manifests God's love. Romans 5 and verse 7. There's another word that's used in this respect, and it's the word ransom. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to be a ransom." Matthew the 20th chapter, verse 28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." So He came to be a ransom. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6 uses a term that He is a ransom, or He gave Himself a ransom for all. So we know what a ransom is, right? It is what's given in exchange for another is the price of redemption. So when we say we're redeemed by His blood, well, the picture we want to see is that His life is given in exchange for ours. Here we are dead in our sin. The sinless Son of God, His life is given as exchange for, as a ransom for us, giving us life. So that His blood, His life, is the means or instrument by which we are delivered. Our deliverance is made possible. He's the ransom. You know, we think about people kidnapped and people paying a ransom to deliver them. Well, we're captured by sin. in the death, in the throes of sin. We cannot escape through our power, through our ability. Jesus says, I'll be the ransom. God says, I'll accept that ransom. He's the price of redemption. Now, that's in Him, right? Remember Ephesians 1:7. In Him we find that redemption, that ransom. If we're not in Christ, if we're not a part of Jesus, we don't have the ransom. We're not redeemed. Not everybody who's living on this earth is going to heaven. Jesus said, few find the way. Many will strive to enter and not be able. Luke 13:24. Who will be able? Those who receive the benefit of the ransom price, who avail themselves of God's grace through faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. So, the death of Jesus, of the physical body, becomes the ransom price by which Scripture says He purchased His church. So now we're linking, now we begin to see the linkage between the church, the spiritual body of Christ, and the actual physical body of Christ that died on the cross. Acts 20:28, He purchased the church. There's the redemption. There's the ransom. He acquires the church. How? With His blood. He's the ransom. He acquires this church with His death. Well, now, Scripture tells us we're baptized into His death. Romans 6 and verse 3 says, that's the action of faith that receives the benefit of God's grace. That where the ransom price is applied to forgive my sins, to wash away my sins and yours and the whole world's, when we will, by faith, repent, and when we're baptized into His death. Look at it in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5, we'll read 26 along with Ephesians 5, 25 to see the point. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. What's this washing by water? Clearly, that's baptism. But what does that do? It says it sanctifies and cleanses the church that Jesus gave Himself for. And so we have now the linkage of God's grace and man's faith in the action of baptism, because there the blood is applied. There the cleansing occurs. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Why? Because that's the ransom Jesus paid. God accepts. There the forgiveness of sin occurs. And it's because Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us and gave His life that we might live. Now, He purchased His church with the death of His physical body. Let's talk about the spiritual body for just a little bit. His church. The church of Christ is His body. We've already read Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 3 that identifies it. But let's go to chapter 3 of Ephesians, verses 10 and 11. Because you see, a lot of folks have been convinced that the church is not really important. Jesus is. Doesn't really matter. Choose the church of your choice, because really it's Jesus that matters, not the church. Is that Bible teaching? Because if it is, boy, that'd solve a lot of problems. We'll just don't worry about what people teach or how they live. We'll just all believe in Jesus and everything will be okay. Is that what the Bible says? Of course, we know that's not what it says, don't we? Let's see it here in Ephesians 3. See the importance of the church. We've already seen it. It's His body. He is its head. He is its Savior. He died for it. He purchased it with the ransom blood. Yes, the church is important. Don't let someone tell you the church is not important. You can't separate His body from Him. Decapitate the body, and what do you have? You have a lifeless body and a head that's not attached, that will do no good to the body. So let's don't let the doctrines of men decapitate the body of Christ. Look at what Ephesians 3 and 10. To the end that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The very existence of the church reveals the wisdom of God. It reveals God's eternal purpose of redemption. If the church is not important, how can we not say that God's entire eternal purpose is not important? Take out the church and you have an incomplete purpose. You have that which lacks wisdom. Why? He says the church makes God's wisdom known to principalities and powers in the spiritual realm. These things are spiritual in nature. We're going to have to perceive them spiritually. The church that He built is how He redeems the lost. They are the redeemed. They're the culmination of it. It's all summed up in Christ and His church. Body of Christ. And so Colossians 1:18 identifies He is the head of the body of the church. And note in verse 23, and tonight we'll go into this in more detail. Ephesians 1:23 says that His church, His body, is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. We'll study that more tonight. Hope you come back and be a part of that study. Because you see, that verse teaches that everything that is about Jesus is summed up in His body. That if you want to have everything that Jesus offers, you've got to be a part of His body. And His body is His church, it says. So if I'm not in His church, a member of His church, His body, then I've yet to experience the fullness. It begins with salvation, redemption, the ransom has been paid, and then all the spiritual blessings that come from that. The verse says, as we just studied, the church of Christ reveals God's wisdom. Because you see, it wasn't built by men. It wasn't arranged by men. It wasn't conceived by men. It wasn't designed by men. It wasn't built by men. I mean, that's why it has to be perceived in a spiritual context. Jesus said, "My kingdom's not of this world." You know, there are a lot of different figures under which the church is described. It's described as a kingdom. It's described as a flock. And here, as a temple, here it's described as a body. And that body is a part of God's eternal purpose of our redemption. And so verse 21 of Ephesians 3 says, "To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Now note that it didn't say join the church of your choice and glorify God. It said the church, in Him glory is given in the church. The church glorifies God by Christ Jesus. That's the value of His church. So, the spiritual body of Christ is a body in which every Christian is a member. Now, we may take that for granted, but I want us to pause a minute and not take it for granted. Let's ponder that for just a moment. Because you see, those who misdefine the church as being made up of denominations misdefine the body and say the body is made up of churches. But the body is not made up of churches in the Scriptures. The body is made up of Christians. We've got to identify the church properly. We've got to know what the body consists of. It consists of every one of us who are Christians. Acts 2 and 47 says, "The Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved." He didn't add the Baptist church to the church and the Methodist church to the church and the Presbyterians to the church and the Reformed to the church. No, in fact, those denominations divided the church historically. Lutheranism, Presbyterianism, Reformed churches, down the list, were divisions because of the creeds and confessions men wrote through the ages. The gospel calls us back beyond all of those, back to the beginning, back to the first century, which the Bible says Christians are members of the body. Christ added to the church daily those who are being saved. Now, do we begin to see why we asked the question at the start? Not only is the body of Christ important to you, but does it make a difference what church we're a part of to be saved and to go to heaven? If I'm not in the church that is Christ's body, I'm lost. And I need to be saved. I need the salvation. I need the ransom price applied to my sin so that I am redeemed, freed from its bondage and death. I still need forgiveness. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and see this point elaborated. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, begin our reading. We'll go ahead and start in verse 12. It says, as the body, and the body he's referring to, he's going to use an illustration of the human body. Use it to illustrate his point. As the body is one and has many members. Okay? We have one body, but we have a lot of members. Bones, tissue, organs, arms, legs, etc. But he says it's one body. Now, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. So here we begin to ask, now is Christ made up of churches? Or is Christ made up of Christians? What's His body made up of? Our bodies are made up of these different members. And He'll talk about the foot and the ear and the eye and all that. Nose. So what's the body of Christ made up of? Verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. Now, who's baptized in verse 13? Well, let me ask the other question first. What are we baptized into? Into one body. So who is baptized into the one body? Who do we baptize? Do we baptize churches? Of course we don't. We baptize people. Baptize sinners. The Bible says. Not Christians, sinners. See, that's one of the other unfortunate errors men have developed, is that you're saved and then you're baptized. No, the Bible says you're lost. You believe in Jesus, you're baptized into His death, you're baptized into His body. There's salvation. That's why Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He did not say he that believes is saved and will be baptized. Mark 16:16. Very, very clear, very simple. Every Christian becomes a member of the body of Christ when that sinner becomes a Christian by being baptized into His body. See, it matters, therefore, doesn't it? It matters what body we're a member of, and it matters how we live as a member of that body. You see, the Scripture doesn't stop by just telling us you need to be in the Church of Christ. It doesn't stop by just saying you be baptized and you're added to the church and you're saved. It doesn't stop there. You see, the gospel teaches us how to live as members of His body. Romans, the 13th or 12th chapter that Connor read for us, amplifies the point. We already noted, present your bodies a living sacrifice, right? So here's our physical body. We are to offer in sacrifice of service to God by changing our minds, verse 2. To prove God's will in our lives. Don't be fashioned according to the world in our thinking, but be transformed. And then, with mind and body, we serve God. We sacrifice unto God. But then, beginning in verse 3, he said, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So, in the body of Christ, we're to remain humble. We're to not be conceited. We're to think soberly. He says, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. That's about how we live now in the body. Watch it, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same function, so we, being many, we who? We Christians, that's his context, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now he uses the term body, we're one body in Christ, verse 5 of the church. Verse 1, he's talking about our physical bodies. Verse 5, now he talks about the church, the body of Christ. We're many members of the one body. And we all have bodies to offer up in God's service and to use our bodies individually according to the gifts we've been given, verses 6 through 8. But we all, he says, and here's our important point, we are one body in Christ, and each of us are members of one another. It matters how we live, offering ourselves in sacrifice, and it matters that we understand we're all connected to each other. Individually, members of one another. Now that gets to the application for us as Christians. Is not only that when we say the church matters, what we ought to understand that means is that each person in his church matters to us. Because we are members of one another. It matters how members of the body treat the members of the body. That's the elaboration of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. So we're to function as members of the body, giving honor to God. That's how the church glorifies God by Christ, Ephesians 3:21. And now in 1 Corinthians 12, he says we need to learn some things about the body of Christ, things they were missing in Corinth that produced division among them. He said, first of all, you need to remember that each member is vital. And it's interesting how he words that. And let's drop down to verse 20. He talks about the necessity of each member in verses 17 through, or 16 through 19. He says, the ear, you know, the ear is not an eye, the eye is not an ear, but they both need to, they're both parts of the body, and each one is needed. Each one's vital. But in verse 20, he says, indeed, there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Now, he got me thinking about that and how we think about ourselves and each other in the body of Christ. Do we think, is our way of thinking, you need me? You hand, you need me because I'm the eye. You need me. How do we think about each other in the body of Christ? That others need me or I need others? Think about that. We need each other, don't we? We need each other. But if we develop, and that was the problem in Corinth, is they had got to thinking that you need me. I've got this gift better. It's not the one you've gotten. It's better than the one you have. You need me. You can't do without me. Paul said, no. Every member of the body of Christ is vital and everyone is needed. And only when we begin thinking differently to think, I need you. You see, the eye needs to say to the hand, I need you. Then we start living as one in the body of Christ. Otherwise, we are selfish, self-centered, self-conceited, self-promoting, self-loving, and we destroy the body of Christ. So it's not enough just to say, I'm a member of the body of Christ. How are we living as a member of the body? Sacrificially, to Jesus, and needing each other and gaining that benefit. He drops on down to verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's practical. Are we happy when others are happy? Are we hurting when others are hurting? Do we even know somebody's hurting? Have we even given a thought that somebody could be hurting or somebody could be rejoicing? Or is it all about my pain and my sorrow or my joy? Now, you're the body of Christ and members individually. That's the church. That's where we can all improve ourselves as members of His body. So does church membership matter? That is, does it matter what church I'm a member of? Scripture says yes. It says yes. Acts, the second chapter, says that sinners were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And they'd receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they were told to save yourselves from this crooked generation. And it says that day about 3,000 souls received His word. As many as received His word were baptized. And they were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. The church started in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. They heard the gospel and believed it and repented and were baptized. And the Lord added them to His church. He started the body of the redeemed. The church. His body. He is its Savior. So yes, whether I'm a member of that body matters. The call of the gospel is the same as in Acts 2 and 40. Save yourself with the ransom that Jesus paid, His blood, by being baptized into His death to raise to walk in a new life with God. He thus adds you to His church, His body, because you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of your sins, Colossians 1:14. Call the gospel is that we put ourselves and the world to death. We put on Christ by being baptized into Him. If that's your need, to be saved in Christ, His way, to be added by Him to His church, we hope you'll use this opportunity now to obey Jesus and to receive His blessing of salvation. While we stand and sing, won't you come?